How great is our God? Words just can't describe it, can they? He's almighty, he's everlasting, he's all-knowing, all-powerful. What a beautiful song, a hymn of praise for sure. Thank you for sharing that today. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for bringing us together around your word. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, enabled us to take a look at ourselves and our walk with you. Our walk through a fallen and difficult world. To know that you are with us, that you will bring us through, and that the best heaven is yet to come. Turn our grief into joy. Amen. Amen. Well, we don't have to really talk very much today at all about living in a fallen world. We could all have a number of testimonies here this morning about how difficult life is and how difficult each day is. We have our mountaintops, we have our valleys, but we continually move forward by the grace of God each and every day. How do we prepare for the next day? Good question. How do you prepare for tomorrow or this coming week? We sit down, we talk about it, we make our plans, we have expectations, but ultimately what? Everything rests in the hand of God. For he does open our days and direct us by his hand. We're living right now in a period of time, in this time of the year, which many consider to be kind of dangerous as far as weather is concerned. I was noticing this morning, I was listening to a program before I came here to church, and they were talking about in 15 days is the beginning of the hurricane season in the Carolinas. And I believe the month of May, June, well, we could go all the way to the end of the year, really in the Central Plains area is a time of often tornadic action, tornadoes. And possibly you hear, or what we do when there's a storm approaching, we always turn on Channel 25 and listen to Chuck Collins, right? Seems like he's always been there, all right? And we watch these fronts as they come and go. And one thing that he says over and over, and all of the weather forecasters do, know your safe place. Now, you know what that means as far as the weather is concerned, right? Whether it's the basement or a room or a shelter or something like that, where you would be safe. What is your safe place? Where do you go when the storms of life threaten and devastation seems to be falling down upon you? Where do you go? Well, you might not necessarily go into a basement room, but we all know where we must go, where our safe place is, and that's with Jesus. We remember that because we remember his word and his promises. He speaks about that we should trust in him, that we should know that he cares for us. We should know that he is with us always. We should know that every temptation that we will be experienced with or to and to come, he has dealt with and resisted. We ought to know, don't we? Because we know his word. When we need rest, he says, come to me. We come to him in prayer. We come to him with outstretched hands. Lord, lead me, show me the way that I should travel or that I should go. Jesus is the one who has won over and against every evil. Well, in the context of our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's getting them prepared for, well, we'll call it a stormy season. He's getting them prepared for his, Jesus, suffering, crucifixion, and death. He's alluded to this. He has really spoken pretty directly about it to them. The Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem and suffer and die and be raised again. Sounds, we understand that. We know that. This is our content of our faith. This shows Jesus as our victorious Savior. But you see, the disciples, well, they hadn't got there yet. And Jesus shares with them a very important word in John 16, 20. He says, "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." You're going to struggle with what's ahead in the days ahead. Your hopes and your dreams are going to be shattered. You're going to be devastated. You're going to fall into a dark place. You're going to wonder if there's any hope at all, there's any way of climbing out of this mess and this darkness that we're in, the disciples. Because you see, they will see and experience Jesus' arrest, his trial, his beatings and scourging, his crucifixion and his death. Of course, they won't all be there around the cross, will they? You know what it's like to lose a good friend, a loved one, a family member? It's difficult. Jesus says, in a little while you won't see me, but then in a little while you will. Well, they didn't get that either. They were thinking, as this whole thing unfolded, that they would no longer see him. It is devastating to face our last great enemy, or in terms of a loved one, and then, and especially if you face it without hope. Because you see, the disciples, they didn't have hope yet. They didn't see things clearly yet. They only saw things on a level plane and not a supernatural one. They received Jesus' teaching and the empowering of his Spirit, but the full powering of that Spirit was yet to come when Jesus said, you know, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit and receive power from on high. You don't have to wait. You have received power from on high. You have been baptized into Christ. His Spirit dwells within you. And the Spirit of God is continually saying to you, you've won, you've won, you've won. You've conquered because Christ has conquered. And in a little while, you'll see that. Jesus said, the world will rejoice, but you will grieve. How would you say the world today is rejoicing? Denying this inspired, inerrant word of God. Denying the efficacy of the Ten Commandments. Denying God's presence. Denying his created order. Denying, and seemingly pushing God farther and farther away from human life. We'll do our thing. We'll go our way. We'll be satisfied the way we want to be satisfied. We'll take on new names. We'll be a different people. How do you feel as Christians in this fallen world? Does your heart grieve? Do you grieve the seeming loss of friends and loved ones and neighbors into darkness? It's sad. It's sad. The world seems to be rejoicing, but Christ has won. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's not the end of the sermon. We're just getting wound up here today. How much time do we have? I'm just kidding. Okay, there's so much more to say and tell. But in this particular gospel reading, Jesus does, he lets us know, as he did the disciples, you know, this is a difficult world in which we live. There is sorrow in the Christian life. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. You know that. There's not one of us here this morning that hasn't shed a tear or grieved or suffered over loss or opportunity or woulda, shoulda, coulda, you know, and we don't seem to be where we want to be. We've all experienced that. This fallen, sin-plagued world. Brokenness. Boy, do we have brokenness. Brokenness between God and man, between man and man, between man and creation. You realize more and more how dependent we are on God for our own existence. Anything we want to hold to or cling to in this world, no matter what it is or what person it is, will fail us. We need to get through this world. And as we get through this world, there's work to be done that others can join us and get through this world in the name of Jesus and be saved. This is a get ready time. And whether you're 10 years old or 90 years old, it's a get ready time. Our grief, our challenges, our tears, it's not the end. It's not the end. You see, our joy is in Jesus and what he's accomplished, and you know that for yourself. And it's not just eternity, but it's the now too. That's how we get through each day, right? You get a tear, what do you say to a child? They have tears, they're crying. You say, "What? Let me wipe those tears away." You get a cloth and wipe them tears. That's what God does for us. He wipes those tears away. And he wipes those tears away because he enables us to remember and to see Jesus, who has taken those tears upon himself and wiped them away. In John 16:33, it's one of my favorite, I hesitate to say favorite verses of Scripture, because every verse is, of course, should be a favorite, right? But John 16:33, Jesus says, and I need to be reminding myself of this all the time. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might have trouble, or maybe you'll have trouble, or you might be lucky enough not to. No. In this world, you will have trouble. But then he says, take heart. In other words, look up. I have overcome the world for you. For you. He's talking personally here. To your heart, to your moment, to whatever you might be dealing with at this particular time in your life, and all and will continue to deal with in other times, I've overcome the world for you. I have defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil. Death has no hold on you at all. Even though you die physically, yet what? You shall live. Close your eyes in death, open your eyes and the glory of God. That's what we have going for us. Our grief will turn to joy, even in the moment, even today. How can you be so optimistic? How can you be so positive? How can you be so seemingly happy with your life in this crazy, mixed up, fallen world? Because God has brought me into this world and He's leading me through it, and there's work to be done, and He's there for me, and He's got things for me to do. There's not one of us here this morning. We're still living. God has yet something more for us to do. Wouldn't it be great if we woke up each morning and we'd say to ourselves, as we just, you know, open our eyes and, you know, before we get in front of the mirror in the bathroom, okay? Lord, what do you have for me to do today for you? It's a constant reminder that we don't walk alone, we don't live alone. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, has taken up residence within us. Because He has yet work for us to do, for the kingdom. And the disciples, you know, they needed to know that too. And of course, Jesus said, you know, you're going to be sad, there's going to be challenges, but, you know, your grief, it's going to turn into joy. And we need to hear that each and every day of our lives. And recognize that in the storms of life, we have that safe place. And that safe place is Jesus and His words and His promises and His victory. Our grief will always turn to joy. The reading this morning from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." We have a foretaste of that today. We're not in heaven yet, but we have Jesus. And He has made everything new for us. He has enabled us to get through the dark days and the difficult times and moments of uncertainty, and whether it be tears or sorrow, and He has brought us through. Brought us through because He has given us His victory, and we claim it in faith as our own. Go to your safe place today. And every day, it's Jesus. Amen. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.